It's Allen versus Darnold, the matchup we wanted to see the first time, not Barkley versus McCown. Let's find out a little bit more about the Jets and specifically the return of Sam Darnold on our Wester hotline from ESPN.com is longtime Jets reporter Rich Cimini. Rich, it's Howard and Brayton. First of all, thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Rich, Sam Darnold, let me start with, before we get to the return portion, the first nine games, okay? I watched his game against Detroit. I'd seen him a little bit earlier in the season, and then I kind of lost track of him. So, first nine games from Darnold, what did you see, generally speaking?
Well, he was 3-6, and he had three really good games. Those, not coincidentally, the games the Jets won. And he had a couple of really bad ones, a couple of clunkers toward the end before his injury was his worst game. He had four interceptions against Miami, and he was regressing at that point.
Yep.
It was almost getting to a point where you wondered if maybe they would sit him down to just collect himself a little bit on the sideline, but the foot injury took care of that, and now he's back. So it's been really a roller coaster. Like with Josh Allen, it's the same thing. It's, yep, you know, these rookies go through this process. And I think maybe the worst thing for Sam, in retrospect, as crazy as it sounds, that Detroit game where he played so well out of the box on Monday Night Football to start the season, I think it raised fans' expectations to an unrealistic level, and he hasn't been able to match that since.
You mentioned that he was regressing at the time he was injured. What were you seeing in terms of that regression? What were some of the problems you were seeing in his game?
Starting to forced some passes, which was the knock on him last year at USC. He led the nation in turnovers last year. And I think part of it was because he was trying to do too much. You know, he didn't have the same supporting cast at USC as he had the previous year when he was throwing to guys like Juju Smith-Schuster. So obviously a great receiver. And so you saw that when he was pressing recently with the Jets, throwing balls into coverage. Interesting stat I dug up with the help of Pro Football Focus. 10 of his 14 throwing against zone defenses have really been a problem for him. He's got only one touchdown pass and 10 interceptions against zone defenses. And obviously the Bills play a lot of zone, so that could be a problem for him on Sunday.
You know, you mentioned the similarities to Josh Allen, for sure, because I think when Allen got hurt, I felt his game was going backwards a little bit. But also, you're talking about rookie quarterbacks, and I think what we've said about Josh Allen, you've probably said about Sam Darnold. What does he have around him on the offense? It's a difficult situation for a rookie to be in.
Yeah, they're very, very similar supporting casts. You know, they have, at least Buffalo's got a proven star. I know he hasn't had the same year as he, you know, with Shady, hasn't had the year that he usually has. But in terms of receiving core, I mean, the Bills have been just churning their receiving core over and over. They're getting rid of guys, you know, as the season goes. And the Jets' receiving core is just kind of average. You know, it is really, they have some okay receivers, Quincy Enunwa leading that group, but there's no dynamic playmaker. And, you know, and the Jets are poorly coached. I mean, their offensive coordinator, Jeremy Bates, is in over his head. And it's just, they're performing at historically bad levels. I could throw a million stats out, but I'll throw one out. The Jets have gone five straight games with one or zero touchdowns by the offense, and that is a franchise record for five straight games. Now, I know the Bills went through a horrific stretch.
Same
early,
thing. So
Bills,
that's right.
Yeah, Bills fans are very much you know, familiar with bad offense. So this might be an epically bad game on Sunday.
I've got to tell you, it's so funny. Reading all the stories in New York, yours and other guys in New York, it's everything we were saying about the Bills a little over a month ago. I mean, it's that bad that it's just such a struggle. And I think at some point, Rich, I think it happened here, maybe it's happening there. At some point, the defense begins to crack under the weight of having to carry the football team when you know you got to play a near-perfect game.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you've seen it 1,000 times over the years. And, you know, when you're out on the field that much, you know, just from a physical standpoint, it begins to take a toll when you just get tired in the fourth quarter. And we've seen the Jets, a couple of weeks ago, they actually played the Patriots pretty well. You know, they took the game into the fourth quarter and they just wore down. And last week against Tennessee, they were leading, 16-0 at one point, and they were leading still going into the fourth quarter. And I think mentally they broke down. They just committed a barrage of stupid penalties. And, you know, I think mentally it takes a toll as well on the defense. So it's a team sport, and when one unit is so far behind the other, it definitely creates bad play and tension in the locker room.
On the defensive side of things, are there pieces the Jets are really happy with? Are there players that you look at and say, you know, these are going to be core players as they try and rebuild this team?
Yeah, I mean, they have a couple of players on defense. You know, Jamal Adams is a star. I mean, he should be in the Pro Bowl. He's a safety slash linebacker. I mean, he lines up everywhere. He's mostly in the box. He's a legitimate player. You know, other than that, you know, you're hard-pressed to – Leonard Williams, who once we thought was going to be a star, is having kind of a disappointing year. Avery Williamson, their middle linebacker, is a good run stopper, a little vulnerable pass coverage, but, you know, he'll be around. So, you know, they have maybe four or five guys on defense. You could say, well, we want to keep these guys and build around them. But really, on this team, they have only one blue-chip player, and that's Jamal Adams.
And on the offense, I assume I was going to ask you this, Senator. The offense, you're expecting an overhaul in the offseason?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's really only two or three players I would say that are guaranteed roster spots going into next year. And, of course, one is Sam Darnold. The tight end, Chris Herndon, the rookie, is a good player. I think he has a chance to be really good. And their right tackle, Brandon Schell, who's an okay starter. But other than that, nobody else is nailed down to the floor. Everything could move out. You know, there's going to be a new coaching staff, you know, in a few weeks. And so they'll have their own ideas on how to, you know, what they want the team to look like. And so, yeah, there's just a, there's going to be a massive turnover on offense.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the coach before we let you go, Rich. Final thing on Bowles. I know the day they were getting blown out by, at that point, was what was an historically bad Bills offense. A lot of people were, I was getting texts from Jets friends of mine that are like fans that are going like, hey, can we fire Bowles at halftime? Why, if he's a goner, like a dead man walking, why did they just not make the move in season?
It's a great question, Howard. I think a lot of Jet fans are still wondering. I mean, he is a goner. I mean, as soon as the season's over, I think at this point they'll just wait till the end because they had the perfect opportunity to do it after the Buffalo game because
They
were going right into the bye week.
Right.
And, you know, you talk to people there, and the way they saw it was, you know, they have a lot of young players. They didn't want the trauma of changing coaches. They thought it would have a negative effect on the young players. The other thing is, this is not a dysfunctional team. I mean, like when the Giants fired McAdoo last year, they were just a dysfunctional team with all sorts of crap going on. And this year with the Browns, with Hugh Jackson, the Jets are not a dysfunctional team. They're a bad team. But there's no discord. You know, they're a happy bad team, as it were. So they felt that Bowles, because he had maintained some chemistry in the locker room, you know, they didn't want to disrupt that. And I think really the owner just didn't, you know, they have a new CEO, Christopher Johnson. Mm-hmm. Woody Johnson is off in England as the ambassador. So Christopher's running things, and I don't think he wanted to be perceived as reactionary because his older brother, Woody Johnson, has been very much a reactionary owner over the years, and he didn't want that same perception for him. So he decided to ride it out with Todd, but I think even some players were surprised that he wasn't dismissed after the Buffalo game.
Well, I think I saw a stat, maybe it was from you, Rich, that this is the first time in Jets history, and this is really going a ways, that they've had a coach have three straight nine-loss seasons.
Yeah, that's true. I did write that. Look, I mean, nothing will ever be as bad as the Rich Kotite era in 95 and 96. They went 4-28 2 years, so it's pretty tough to top that.
Yeah.
But this is right there, Howard. Mm. I mean, I like Todd Bowles. He's a really good guy. He really never shows his personality in public, but he does, when you talk to him alone, he does have a good personality, and unfortunately people never get to see it, but it's just been an utter and complete breakdown from personnel acquisitions to coaching to playing. It's just a mind-boggling series of events of just ineptitude, and the coach, of course, pays the price with his job.
Well, it's the Jets, Rich. You've been around long enough, so this is kind of standard operating procedure, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like Groundhog Day, you know, it's just over and over again. And look, I think they'll keep the general manager and give Mike Maccagnan a chance to rebuild it again with another coaching staff. But, certainly it will be a new coach, at some point in January.
Thanks for giving us your time this morning, Rich. Appreciate it. Have yourself a nice weekend.
All right. Thanks, Howard. Take care.